however screwed up California is, it would be a lot more screwed up if people weren't allowed to leave.
Hi, I'm Tim Cavanaugh from Reason TV. We're here with Peter Thiel, the American entrepreneur and investor. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You were an early investor in Facebook, and the Facebook movie has just come out. I was wondering if you could speak at all about the accuracy of the movie, not just in the story that it tells, but in the sociological assumptions about how, you know, new media are changing us.
Well, there are a number of factual inaccuracies about the movie. It certainly portrays the people in a much worse light than I know them, having worked with a number of these people for the last 6 years. I think it's an incredibly dedicated, awesome team of people that has created tremendous value for themselves, their investors, and the world at large. Where I think the movie is most wrong is in sort of imposing a Hollywood view of reality. Hollywood is a little bit of a zero-sum game. You know, there can only be so many celebrities, and everybody sort of is always trying to edge everybody else out. Whereas I think Silicon Valley and technology is fundamentally about creating a win-win where everybody can do better. And it tries to impose a Hollywood or governmental win-lose mentality on a world that's fundamentally about winning and winning. That being said, I think the one very positive thing about the movie is that it is going to encourage, in spite of the worst intentions of the producers and people involved in creating it, in spite of their worst intentions, it will encourage a lot of people to go into the tech industry in Silicon Valley. So I think on that, it's a very positive thing.
Are we not past this point of, you know, technology is going to turn us all into automatons and it's taking away our privacy and all that kind of stuff? I mean, the sort of fear-mongering that you see in Hollywood.
It's hard to judge exactly where we are in society in thinking about technology. My hope is that technology is able to accelerate on its own and that it's freed from political constraints. I do worry that if we had an up or down vote on a number of technological areas, people would actually just vote against it. The political consensus in our society is not very friendly towards scientific or technological progress, and it's not what people think of as the indispensable ingredient for creating a more prosperous world in the decades ahead.
PayPal was initially viewed in sort of, you know, highly utopian, and not by you, but by the world as sort of a possibility of revolutionizing the whole money system and all that kind of thing. Does the actual PayPal experience indicate that there is no escape from the government and from the dollar system? And
it's not easy to escape. Certainly the regulatory issues surrounding the payment and monetary system are formidable. I would say at the same time that I think we are heading towards a world where people have somewhat more control over their money than they did 30 or 40 years ago. And one macroeconomic way of describing this is that we're seeing lower and lower rates of inflation. It's getting harder for governments to inflate away. I believe even Zimbabwe in the last year has basically dollarized. And so it's now U.S. dollars are legal tenders of exchange in Zimbabwe. And even though we can have all sorts of concerns about the dollar being sort of a paper form of money, from the point of view of people living in Zimbabwe, it probably is a big improvement.
Which is interesting because it's, you know, as everybody knows, it's not backed up by anything. It's just supposedly it's the authority of the government that backs it up, but it's really the consensus of people in Lebanon and Zimbabwe and all of these other places where the dollar is basically the official currency.
Well, money is a very strange thing, and what creates monetary value is a very strange thing. Without getting into all the arcane questions about where money comes from and what it really means, I think as a first cut, decentralizing that and giving people the choice of which currency to use is probably an important starting point.
Do those things come about accidentally? Like if California starts issuing IOUs, can you say for, you know, the 6 weeks that that's going on, that this is actually a competing currency to the dollar?
It doesn't seem like, as currently constituted, California would be a very competitive currency to the U.S.
Not a lot of confidence.
Not
in
a lot of
currency.
Confidence there.
Yeah.
Especially the IOU version of it.
Sure, yeah. Talk about the Seasteading Institute a little bit. Where are we and what's your rank? Are you an admiral of the ocean sea?
I don't believe I have an official official rank on that score. The goal has been to try to create some kind of space outside of politics. And I think this is very, very important because I think there's so much about the political sphere that's become just poisonous. It's about people collectively hating other people. That's basically what politics is about. It's collective hatred. And we need to basically figure out a way to escape from it. I'm personally very interested in trying to identify some technological means for escape. You can try to move on to the internet. It's a question whether that's real. You can try to move to outer space. There's a problem with that being too far away, the technology not quite working. And so the seasteading experiment is a bit of an in-between option. And even if a lot of people do not actually want to live on platforms in the ocean or floating ships or floating cities, I think the option of doing this, the option of opting out of politics will make it a lot better. You know, however screwed up California is, it would be a lot more screwed up if people weren't allowed to leave. And so I think the freedom to leave is one of the most fundamental freedoms.
Not just, are we speaking just about political systems or the, you know, I mean, we've seen, and maybe this is something that normal people who don't really spend a lot of time thinking about these things don't really see, but like, you know, your right of exit has vastly expanded. Your right to get out of a bad marriage, your right to, you know, move from state to state, move from country to country, although the United States is actually pretty punitive about people leaving the United States these days.
United States is not the easiest place to leave, and of course we don't want to ever have to leave it, but in general, the countries that are impossible to leave tend to be the ones you most like to leave. So probably the hardest country in the world to leave would be North Korea, and it's probably the one people are most desperate to leave. East Germany, it was actually perfectly legal to emigrate from East Germany once you turned 65 years old, because at that point you were seen as basically a net recipient of state funding. Until you were 65, you were basically seen as being owned by the state, and the people who fled from East Germany, they were seen as basically stealing the state's property, e.g. themselves.
All right. One of the things that you're saying people should be able to leave is college.
I think if we want to have a single discussion of where there's a bubble in the U.S., it is in education, where more and more money is being spent on the same or maybe less and less. And so it's, in some sense, if you define technology as doing more with less, the things that are anti-technological are the ones where you're doing less with more or a lot less with the same. There's been more inflation in education than any other sector of our economy over the last 30 years, and so it's probably the furthest from technology. In practice, one of the problems is that people end up amassing enormous amounts of debt in college or graduate school, and then this tremendously constrains their future options. They cannot choose to do things they really want to do or things that will really transform the society. Instead, they're basically tied to this incredible mountain of debt. And I don't think, as a society, we should be encouraging or fostering it. I think it's incredibly inimical to entrepreneurship, which is probably more critical than ever in this country.
If the government were out of that game by not providing grants and guaranteeing loans and so forth, would we be better off? Would we have seen less inflation?
We would have seen way less inflation, but it's in the game on many levels. We're so far removed from a government being outside of it that it's hard to even know what that would look like.
Right now we're in a period of retrenchment with, you know, Obamacare and the sort of an administration that's really married to a big government idea of how to solve problems. Yet we're also seeing a huge backlash against that in the streets. And so where do you think we are in terms of going, you know, an understanding of government and the function of the state, the proper?
I think political debates are, we are in a surprisingly libertarian moment that's more so than I would have thought possible 2 years ago. At the same time, I personally remain rather pessimistic about how much hope we can have through merely political means in the long term. It's, you know, it seems to be something very hard about libertarians being able to win elections, and it is not the preferred choice. It is sort of the last option, and maybe it is the last option we have left. Maybe you know, everything else has failed. But I think politics becomes libertarian as an absolute last resort.